Rana wakes in the evening, lying on a bed of ruby silks and soft black satin pillows. She opens her strange, large eyes and gazes at the ceiling, just feeling her life and the life of the vampire she fills for the moment. The ardor is not strong, not now, though she is cold and deathly. Her stillness is that of room shadows and dead air. Jasmine felt not awake, knew that she hadn't fed, but that the ardor rode her lightly, and sighed. She smiled and stood, walking into the other bedroom through the connecting door. "Sanam, you have woken. Shall I join you now, that you might feed?" she asked with a smile, flicking her ankle-length unbound copper hair over her shoulder. She wore a gown of sheerest black silk, revealing glimpses of the moonlight-skinned form beneath it, even as it concealed from neck to wrist and floor. Languidly, the strange girl, though girl was misleading, raised a hand to rest it upon her brow. "You sound disappointed, Vida." Her voice rose like a soft wind to caress Jasmine's skin more intimately than the soft silk of her robes. Rana, as her wont, was only draped in soft black Egyptian cotton across her breasts and loins. "Does lack of my hunger displease you so?" Jasmine smiled faintly.
"No, mistress. I had only thought to please you, if you hungered."
Her eyes lingered over Rana's lightly clad body. It was too seldom that she was able to spend time with the other woman, hidden away as she was from Bell and the other vampires who might use her against Rana. "You please me by living, my Kalida Lulua, my eternal pearl." Finally, those strange eyes closed and opened, slowly, as languid as her other movements. It was rare she blinked at all. To do so was almost a sign of distress or confusion. "There is a strangeness in me. I do not hunger as I have other nights." She slowly rose, the soft cotton slipping from her small, firm breasts to slide down her stomach. "Come and feed me, dear Yasmina." Jasmine walked with fey grace to the huge bed, and slowly slid the robe from her perfect, doll-like and delicate body, running her hands down her breasts and abdomen, groin, thighs, and then stretching, cat-like. She crawled onto the bed and lay upon her back, within Rana's arms. She drew her down towards her and whispered in her ear,
"Your power grows, beloved one, but you must feed and be at your strongest. The auguries have shown that a time of struggle and great change for us is almost upon us. Be wary, my beloved one, for both of us."
"To ask me to be wary, Nida, is to ask the moon to shine or the sun to pass overhead."
Her eyes had never left the lovely creature she undressed and moved to her. It was rare for her not to gaze directly at another's eyes almost constantly. Only with Jasmine did her guard drop, her intensity become something more human than monster. Her hand rose to caress the lovely young fae's cheek, drifting into the lovely tresses of copper, a balance between unsilly skin and silly hair. But eyes unlike anything from either court. Slowly, she guided the delicate creature to lie back against the bed. Rising over her, Rana slid her body over Jasmine's, straddling her slowly, staring into those eyes with her own.
"You offer me your body tonight, Vida."
"I would give you my body and my blood, did you ask it of me, Sanam?"
She spoke softly, meeting Rana's eyes with her own, shivering at the effect of having the other woman straddling her body.
"I would give you whatever you asked."
Nude, save for the crimson symbol painted across her belly, as lacking in body hair as the she held below her, the vampire slowly stroked the girl's breasts with delicate fingertips, raising the hard nubs easily. But when she spoke, it was her voice that truly reached in, caressing things deep in her Palme de Sang's body.
I would take blood this night, as well as your love, Muna. I would remind you of what we share, what one day we will share together, when you are mine in truth and I yours.
She lowered herself, her breast sliding slowly across Jasmine's, her cool body slowly warming as the she's pleasure eased the ardor. Jasmine moaned softly at her lover's touch upon her body, at the power that reached in and caressed her. Her body rose to meet her mistress's before relaxing once more against the bed and its pillows. Her hands came up to stroke Rana's body, even as she turned her head to bare her throat in a signal of submission to the other's will, and a silent offering of her blood to her beloved mother, mentor, sister, lover. Rana's hands slowly moved down to gently grip the girl's waist, then seize and hold her. While it was the Fae that was the stronger of the two, Rana could still tear into her soft flesh with ease. But the grip was only to remind her of what was happening here. To remind her, Rana could have taken her by force, if she had the desire. Delicate, full lips brushed the tender pulse of Jasmine's throat, where to take blood in a mortal would bring inevitable death, as their carotid artery bled out. The light touch of the vampire's fangs rested against Jasmine's throat as she licked that soft place. Rana slowly moved her body against Jasmine's, teasing her with the soft feel of cool flesh against her heat.
Marsipeda,
Rana whispered against her flesh, her voice sliding into places no voice should go.
Beloved,
Jasmine whispered. She savored the feel of Rana's hands and power moving over and through her. She could feel her body respond, the moisture gathering between her thighs, and the touch of the other woman's lips on her throat was an even more arousing delight. Her body moved in response to Rana's with unconscious grace and years of practice. She touched the woman's hip with soft, delicate fingers.
I dream of Egypt and a man that was once a god. Beloved, perhaps you will understand better than I.
Apophis, the god of Egypt's snakes, the lord of darkness.
She murmured softly, letting her fangs and lips tremble along the tender flesh of her lover's throat. She slowly moved, lips and tongue traveling along the smooth moonlight of Jasmine's throat.
One time, a council member, new lord of a city, forbidden to come unto the council, able to defend himself.
Her tongue darted along the delicate she's jugular vein now, and her body was warming as the girl responded to her ardor. Her fangs slid, ungentle, across flesh. Not sinking in, no, just hard, cold porcelain pressed against tender flesh. Her hands gripped more tightly than released, to slowly slide along Jasmine's sides, taking her arms, raising them above her head. Slowly she entrapped the girl, and Rana touched her throat with the sharp points of fangs against her jugular. Another vampire would sink fangs swiftly.
Not Rana. Nothing Rana did was so hurried.
Slowly the sharp fangs slid into Jasmine's throat, infinitesimally small increments sliding into her throat. Jasmine felt the fangs graze her throat again, felt the roughness of them, and knew her mistress was about to feed as she trapped her arms above her head. Felt her body warm above her as she fought the urge to wiggle beneath her mistress's body. As Rana's fangs began to slowly sink into her body, Jasmine made soft moans of pleasure the pain mixing with the pleasure of the ardor to make her body positively ache with need and desire for the woman now controlling her. She whimpered and made other sounds of need as well. As her fangs slowly slid into the lovely young woman's throat, she allowed the ardor to bloom fully, her breasts slowly moving along Jasmine's, hardened nipples slowly caressing the other woman's. The movement of her hips along the lovely sheaths was gentle, yet insistent, and her tongue gently removed the droplets of blood that spilled along her lips. Yet still the fangs moved, deeper, slowly deeper, until after nearly a minute, Rana had bitten Jasmine deeply, losing the flow of blood from her jugular vein, a fatal thing to mortals. Her thumbs slid gently along the pulse of Jasmine's wrists, and her body became truly warm, finally filled with the she's life. A soft noise came from her throat, vibrating into the girl's body. Jasmine cried aloud as the ardor bloomed and ripped into her body. She moved beneath the other woman's body, her hips rising and falling in almost desperation as Rana finally pierced her body fully. The feel of Rana's breasts caressing her own was exquisite, and she enjoyed the feeling of entrapment where her hands were held above her. She whispered again and begged softly, "Please, mistress." Slowly, Rana drank, taking the blood from her beloved daughter, student, sister, lover, ignoring her cries of desire and need as she slowly slid her fangs free, no more quickly than they had entered. Her tongue slid along the wounds as they slowly healed, drawing the blood from her. Her hips gently rocked, and her grip tightened forcibly on Jasmine's delicate wrists, almost crushingly hard. Her thumbnails, no, claws, but nearly unbreakable, dove into her tendons, inflicting a greater pain. But the ardor slid through their bodies, and only when she'd drawn her fangs from the healing wounds did Rana gaze at Jasmine with bright, shining eyes. "What, Zuhar Suha?" Still she rode her lover's body, even as the rubies fell from her already healing throat. By the time Rana spoke again, Jasmine was nearly incoherent with need and desire, practically writhing on the bed beneath her. And she begged her mistress for release, only partially aware of her words, only that the ardor had driven her need and desire higher and higher as it was fed. Slowly, Rana moved, lying atop the lovely she, and gently forced her legs apart with one thigh. Once that was done, however, she shifted, forcing Jasmine to instinctively shift with her rather than consciously. They were faced away from one another, but with a gentle insistence of Rana's mind, their hands met, clasped. Then Rana began to move, engaging in a slow, deliberate act of tribadism, pressing the loving, soft, wet places of their bodies together. And she sighed softly as her pleasure became complete, orgasm almost unimportant, though she was well aware Jasmine's would be terrifyingly intense and more than a little dangerous for her. As Rana began to give Jasmine what she so badly needed, her body began to glow with the soft, opalescent moonlight, growing stronger and stronger as Jasmine fought against Rana to increase her pace and bring her climax sooner than her mistress's own torturous pace would allow. Light began to gather and pool about the room in strange pockets as well. It wasn't often that Rana would play such dangerous games with her. She'd once killed a vampire by bathing him in sunlight while in the lowest depths of the house. But she loved Rana so. Even as Jasmine's glow began to erupt, the incredible, lovely, opalescent light filling the room, the shadows became darker, more intense, as if responding to Jasmine's glow. Rana shuddered and clenched Jasmine's hands in hers, almost painfully hard, as the she sought to increase the pace. looking at the lovely creature's glow. Her need. Rana relented, accepting for once the pull of ardor. She moved, hard, fast, almost crushingly against the other woman. Knowing it would not be enough, almost punishing her with what she desired. Even with the increased pace and pain pleasure, it only served to bring her need to greater heights and pain. She knew her lover would only allow her climax and release when she was ready. And it was a torment to her. She panted in exertion, and her body was covered with the light sweat. She sought pleasure, and found only the torment of more need and pleasure without the release she so desperately wanted. Rana moved, liquid lightning, shadowy death. Jasmine's defenseless mind allowed her to assume a position she desired without any interruption of the she's sensations or pleasures. They were head to groin with one another, Rana's lips and tongue gently moving against Jasmine's wetness, licking, kissing, suckling, slowly, teasingly, only occasionally allowing the lightest brush of fang against those oh-so-vulnerable spots. Yet every time she would come close to entering her depths with tongue or caressing the sensitive hardened nub, Rana would deliberately avoid it, avoid giving Jasmine the final stroke or touch that would release her. The shadows seethed, impossibly dark where Jasmine's glow was not present, until all the room was only darkness and light. As Rana shifted and Jasmine found her head straddled by the other woman, she panted and it took her a moment to understand what had happened and to respond. She began to return lick for lick and caress for caress that the other woman gave her, even as she thought she would lose her mind. She felt her power build and begin to leak out into other spectrums, slipping through her grasp as it did only under extreme circumstances or stimulation. She gasped the other woman's name in warning, and then buried her face once more among Rana's petals. Rana was finally ready, risking her life as the light became too close to what was sunlight. But Rana would tolerate this for a moment. Slowly she opened her mouth against the tender places of Jasmine's sex, fully covering her sex with lips, sliding her tongue deep into the other woman. And only when she was brought over by her lover's caresses did she bite, sinking fangs into that ultimately soft and moist flesh, drinking from her sacred well in more than one way, her release intense, impossible, and is filled with the pain of the sunlight Jasmine's hips pressed down onto her mouth, plunging her tongue deeply into the other woman to muffle her cries, as well as to bring her pleasure, though her body bucked and writhed under the other woman's control. Rana drank deeply of blood and love of the other woman, ardor finally sated, as well as blood. But she did not stop, and all that kept her head from being crushed by the other woman's spasms was her own inhuman strength. Deep furrows were driven into pale thighs as Rana struggled to keep Jasmine from accidentally killing her in the throes of her orgasm. Only when she was fully sated did she pull her head away, gasping softly, the searing pain too great to allow Jasmine any longer release. Rana was strong enough to stand in direct sunlight, but this was too close to the light of the Eye of God, and she could take no more. Only her mastery of the darkness protected her as it was, but even that was not proof. As Jasmine panted to regain her breath and her body came once more under her control, now that her lover had ceased her ministrations, she also regained control of her power and brought the light back out of the ultraviolet range, back to something approximating candlelight, then released it into the ambient to face and be swallowed by the darkness of her lover. The soothing darkness slowly faded as Rana slid from her lover to move close, spent and warm. The crawling burn faded quickly as well. The magical nature of the light, all that saved her from burning true death. She laid her body against Jasmine and murmured softly, her voice sliding across Jasmine's skin like the silk under them.
Gania. Gania.
She licked a bead of sweat from Jasmine's cheek and stroked her hair slowly. Jasmine smiled softly, exhausted now and thoroughly sated. She curled against the other woman, letting her magic caress Rana lightly with pleasurable sensations, and finally murmured an endearment in her lover's native tongue. The door burst open suddenly, and Rana simply looked up, so confident nothing would harm them here, she did not react as if it could be anything but an ally. Which it was. Gaird, one of the four children she'd brought over, terrified and exhausted, his hair and clothing mussed from his flight.
Mistress, Belmort comes for your heart and head. She cannot feed from you. You are sore at the song, and she will not tolerate another loss as she had with Jean Claude.
Jasmine made a soft sound of distress at the man's words, but slid from the bed and brought Rana clothing from the closet, before searching out clothing that she could either travel or fight in, depending on the need at hand. Then she began to quietly and methodically pack what was most important to her. Those belongings that were magically important and could not be easily replaced. Certain weapons and journals. And of course, certain letters she'd arranged to have purloined from Belle's couriers. She had the originals. Copies had been sent on with the couriers, their minds wiped of any encounter with Jasmine herself. Rana stood and slid into the soft silk of the clothing she was brought, shirt and pants, as if she were a man. She towed on the shiny Mary Jane sandals, then spoke.
Be at ease, Gaird. Tell the others to flee, all of them, and to hide. You will contact me in the city of Threshold, Texas. I will seek Kepophis' succor.
Her voice was steely, cold, sending shivers down the spines of the others.
Jasmine, you will come with me. We will no longer hide you. We must both hide until we are safe.
She considered. Perhaps it is as we feared.
Belle's war draws from her the power to hold her bloodline whole.
Belle spends too much of her time, beloved mistress, in the antechamber, trying to wake the Mother of Darkness. She spends her power to try, and yet she fails. It may be true that she has had the power, as we have seen, to wake the Mother's children. But she cannot control them. They serve her because they bide their time until she wakes again. It will be better to be away from where she will awake. And what she doesn't spend so, she spends on war. But consider this, beloved. For 100 years, you have fed on blood and lust of she. And while my mother may have cast me out, I was by no means lowly born. Rana walked slowly to Gaird and caressed the soft down of his short golden locks.
Go, speak with the others afar, warn them, and have them make a way. You will be my guard, as will Jasmine, until we are safely gone from the city.
She sighed softly and walked to Jasmine and touched her cheek with gentle fingertips.
Bida, when we arrive in safety, I will do as I have promised, as I have wished. I know your blood is potent, a gift of greatness, and perhaps it is that which has made me more than mere master. But if so, the Council must never learn. It will destroy us and begin the greatest war of all time.
She leaned forward and delicately kissed Jasmine upon the brow.
There is a train which will take us to London. It will keep me safe for travel until we can take a ship.
Mistress, love, it would be quicker to take an airliner, and my glamour can keep our natures concealed.
She smiled gently.
But there is the line of daylight to consider, sweet Yasmina. Perhaps.
She closed her eyes.
Yes. I will call in a favor. Jean-Claude will help me this once. He understands and will be pleased to cut more of Belmont's power from her. I must call him.
And you will protect us. Your glamour will shield us to the airport. Her eyes gazed piercingly at Jasmine.
You need not do this. You may go, and I will think no less of you for it. Belmont is fearsome and cruel.
Jasmine looked at Rana.
Sanam, beloved, mother, sister, lover, mistress, all these things you have been to me, and more. You took in a feral she-child when I was no more than 12 years old, cast out from the shining throng by my mother because I was the product of rape by an unseelie male. You raised me, protect me, and taught me. It would be a great betrayal of everything between us did I leave you now. I do not fear Belmont, but I do fear that which she seeks to wake. We shall seek out the desert god, as my dreams have shown, for I saw us both together. And you will offer me to him for a night, if he should desire, for it would be a proper gift for him, according to our ways, as I am your Pont de Sang. And when we are safe, then we shall become more. That which you have always wanted for us, master and human servant, and, like with Jean-Claude and his lovely Anita, I shall have free will within our relationship just as she does. It was like seeing the sun break out through clouds, or the moon touched by a rainbow on a misty evening. Jeanne smiled, slowly, and tears formed in her pale eyes, tinged with blood, but beautiful.
Yes, Yasmina. Those things shall be done.
Her hands slowly lifted, and she brought the she close to kiss her firmly.